Ever get that feeling that words can be kind of slippery? Like they don't always get the full meaning across, especially when you're trying to translate ideas between languages?
It can definitely be a challenge, especially when you're dealing with concepts that don't have direct equivalents across languages.
Right. I mean, you can say something in one language and it means something totally different in another.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to deep dive into today. These tricky verbal ideas that can cause all sorts of communication mix-ups.
We're actually going to be looking at a lecture by Dr. George Payton. He's a Bible translation
Oh
expert.
yeah, I've heard of him. He's done some fascinating work on how language shapes thought.
Exactly. And you might be thinking, Bible translation? What's that got to do with me? But trust me, this is relevant to everyone.
It really is, because understanding how language works helps us be better communicators, no matter what field we're in.
Absolutely. So Dr. Payton starts by explaining these verbal ideas. He uses examples like the noun punishment or the adjective coming. And he argues that these words actually have a hidden verb in them.
Yeah, like punishment implies the action of to punish, right? And coming suggests to come.
It's like they're verbs in disguise.
Exactly. And it's interesting how we often miss these underlying verbs in everyday speech.
And that's where these verbal ideas can cause problems, right? Dr. Payton says they can create communication gaps because they don't tell us who's doing what to whom.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like if you read a report that says funding was approved, okay, but approved by whom and for what,
Right.
it leaves out key information.
Exactly. And Dr. Payton actually shares this funny story about his time in Papua New Guinea. He was working on translating Galatians 5:22-23, you know, the one about the fruits of the Spirit.
Oh, right. Love, joy, peace, all that good stuff.
Yep. But the language he was working with lacked abstract nouns for those concepts, so the translation ended up sounding like blah, 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 blah.
That's hilarious. But also, it highlights how important it is to be sensitive to different cultures when you're translating. It's not just about swapping words.
It's about conveying the meaning in a way that makes sense in that culture.
Exactly. You have to think about how the audience will understand it.
So how does Dr. Payton actually tackle this challenge? Well, he has a three-step method. First, you identify that hidden verb. Then you figure out who's doing what to whom. And finally, you rephrase the sentence to make it crystal clear.
So it's like taking those disguised verbs and making them, well, not so disguised anymore.
Exactly. And he walks us through an example from the Bible. The phrase arriving in Jerusalem shows how you can apply this method in practice.
I like that he gives practical examples. It makes it easier to grasp.
Right. And get this, Dr. Payton's Tanzanian colleague actually called this principle the most important thing he learned about translation.
Wow, that's a pretty big statement. What was it about this principle that was so impactful?
Well, it forced him to think beyond just the surface level of the words and to really understand the actions and relationships that are being conveyed. It's about getting to the heart of the meaning, not just the literal words. But hold on, because Dr. Payton throws in a bit of a curveball. Participles. Even his Greek teacher admitted they're hard.
Participles. Oh, those are those ing words, right?
Yep, exactly. And they can act as verbs, adjectives, or even nouns.
So they're kind of like chameleons of grammar.
Huh. That's a good way to put it. But that's why they can be so tricky, right? They add these subtle layers of meaning that can be easily missed.
I guess it's like they're sneaking in extra information that we need to pay close attention to.
Exactly. Dr. Payton warns us that participles can create ambiguity if we're not careful. But if we learn to recognize them, we can unlock all those nuances and avoid misinterpreting things, which is obviously important for communication, right?
Totally. It's about being a more active reader, I guess.
Right. And just when you thought it couldn't get more complex, Dr. Payton teases us with the challenge of abstract noun clusters.
Abstract noun clusters. What are those?
Well, it's when you have two or more abstract nouns string together, like baptism of repentance, for example.
Baptism of repentance. Now that you mention it, I've never really thought about how to break that phrase down.
Right. And it makes you wonder, how do we interpret these kinds of phrases accurately?
Especially when you think about all those legal documents or theological texts that are full of these abstract noun clusters.
Yeah.
Unpacking them is crucial for understanding what's really being said.
And that's where things start to get really interesting. So we're left with this idea of abstract noun clusters, like baptism of repentance. Like the more we dig into language, the more layers we
Oh,
find.
for sure. And, Dr. Payton doesn't really unpack that specific phrase in this lecture, but it's a great example of why understanding those clusters is so important.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle waiting to be solved.
Exactly. And who doesn't love a good puzzle?
All right, so let's try to solve this one. What do we think baptism of repentance really means? Where are those hidden verbs? Who are the participants?
Okay, well, let's start with baptism. I mean, obviously it implies the verb to baptize, right?
Mm.
But what does that really involve? Is it just like getting dunked in water? Or is there a deeper meaning there?
Good point. And then there's the question of who's doing the baptizing.
Is it always some kind of religious figure? Or could it be a more metaphorical baptism, like going through a really tough experience?
Oh, I like that. A baptism by fire. And then we have repentance, which implies the verb to repent. But repent for what?
And who's doing the repenting? Is it an individual? Or could it be a whole group of people, like a community or a nation?
So many possibilities. It seems like, depending on how you interpret those abstract nouns, baptism of repentance could mean a whole bunch of different things.
Right. It could be about spiritual cleansing, turning away from sin, making amends for past wrongs. The list goes on.
And that's what makes it so tricky, right? It's like those abstract noun clusters are little bundles of potential meanings just waiting to be unpacked.
It's almost like those Russian nesting dolls, you know. You open one and there's another one inside and another one.
I love that analogy. And I think that's why Dr. Payton highlights this challenge. It's a reminder that even phrases that seem simple on the surface can have a lot more going on beneath the surface.
Totally. And it makes you realize how important context is for understanding language. You can't just look at a phrase in isolation. You have to consider the bigger picture.
This is making me think about all those times I've read something and just assumed I understood it, you know? But maybe I was missing some of those hidden meanings all along.
It happens to all of us. And it's not just with abstract nouns either.
Yeah.
Dr. Payton talks about how even a single word can have multiple meanings depending on the context.
Oh, yeah. He brings up the word koinonia, right? It's often translated as fellowship or church in English Bibles.
Yeah, but he points out that it can also mean things like sharing in someone's suffering or sending aid to those in need.
Wow. So even a word that we think we know can have these totally different shades of meaning.
It's like each word is a little world unto itself. And the more we explore those worlds, the richer our understanding of language becomes.
I love that. So it seems like this whole deep dive into verbal ideas is really about becoming more aware, more conscious of the language we use and encounter every day.
Absolutely. It's about being more mindful both when we speak and when we listen. And realizing that words have power. They can shape our thoughts, our actions, our relationships.
Dr. Payton actually leaves us with a really thought-provoking question inspired by 1 Corinthians 13, the passage that describes love. You know, like, love is patient, love is kind.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful passage.
He points out that we often think of those qualities as, like, abstract ideas. But what if they're more than just ideas? What if they're verbs in disguise, actions that we're called to embody in our lives?
Wow, that's a powerful shift in perspective.
It really is. It suggests that love isn't just a feeling, but a way of being in the world. But, you know, as we're wrapping up our discussion on abstract nouns and participles, Dr. Payton throws in another curveball. He mentions one more type of verbal idea that can be tricky. Prepositional phrases.
Prepositional phrases. You mean like on the table or with a smile?
Exactly. Those little phrases that we use all the time without even thinking about them. But as Dr. Payton points out, prepositions can express a whole range of relationships, and those relationships aren't always clear when you're dealing with different languages.
I see what you mean. Like, a preposition like in can have so many different meanings depending on the context. You can be in love, in trouble, or in the house, and each in is expressing a different kind of relationship.
Right.
It's like those prepositions are these tiny little bridges connecting words and ideas, but those bridges can lead to totally different destinations depending on the language you're speaking.
That's such a great analogy. And if you're not aware of those nuances, you could easily misinterpret the meaning of a whole sentence.
Exactly. So how do we make sure we're crossing the right bridges, so to speak? Does Dr. Payton offer any tips for navigating these prepositional pitfalls?
Well, he doesn't really give us any concrete strategies in this lecture. He leaves us with more of a challenge than a solution.
Oh, I was hoping for some handy tips. But I guess that's part of what makes language so fascinating, right? There's always more to learn, more to discover.
True. And maybe it's good to take a break before diving into another linguistic puzzle. We've already covered so much ground today.
You're right. We can always do a deep dive on prepositions another time. But in the meantime, I encourage everyone to start paying closer attention to how they use prepositions in their own language.
You mean like noticing when I say I'm going to the store versus I'm going into the store?
Exactly. You'd be surprised how much those seemingly small prepositions reveal about our spatial awareness, our cultural assumptions, and even our subconscious thought processes.
Wow, I never realized there was so much depth to something as simple as a preposition. It's like a whole new world has opened up.
That's the beauty of language. There's always something new to discover, another layer to peel back.
And thanks to Dr. Payton, we have the tools to start exploring those layers with more precision and understanding.
So what's next in our deep dive?
So we've been exploring these verbal ideas, and you mentioned that there's one more piece to this puzzle. Prepositional phrases. I gotta say, they always seem pretty straightforward to me.
I know, right? On, in, with. What could be so complicated? But Dr. Payton actually points out that those little phrases can be trickier than they appear.
Really? Like how?
Well, think about it. Prepositions express relationships, right? But those relationships can be subtle, and they can vary across cultures. What seems obvious in one language might not be so clear in another.
Okay, I'm starting to see what you mean. So it's not just about understanding the individual words, but also about the relationships they create.
Exactly. Remember how we talked about those hidden verbs lurking in nouns and adjectives? Prepositions are kind of similar. They carry a lot of meaning in a tiny package.
Okay, give me an example.
Let's take the preposition in. In English, we say in the house, and it's pretty straightforward. But in another language, the equivalent phrase might imply ownership or purpose or even a metaphorical connection to the house.
That makes sense. It's like those prepositions are these little bridges connecting words and ideas, but those bridges can lead to different places depending on the language you're speaking.
Love that analogy. And if you're not aware of those nuances, well, you could easily end up taking a wrong turn and completely misinterpreting what's being said.
So how do we avoid getting lost in translation, so to speak? Does Dr. Payton give us any tips for navigating these prepositional pitfalls?
He doesn't offer specific strategies in this lecture, but he stresses the importance of context. We have to look beyond the individual preposition and consider the surrounding words, the sentence, the overall message.
So it's like seeing the forest for the trees.
Exactly. And we also need to be aware of the cultural baggage that comes with certain prepositions. What might seem neutral in one language could have strong connotations in another.
It's like there's this whole layer of meaning that we don't even realize is there until we start to, like, peel back those layers of language.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And it makes you realize how much detective work goes into really understanding language, whether you're translating a text or just having a conversation.
It really does. This whole deep dive has been eye-opening. It's like I took language for granted before, but now I'm seeing it in a whole new light.
Me too. And the best part is, this is just the beginning. There's always more to learn, more to discover. Language is a never-ending adventure.
It really is. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've explored verbal ideas, hidden verbs, abstract nouns, participles, and even those tricky prepositions. I feel like I've leveled up my language skills.
Me too. And, you know, even though we've reached the end of this deep dive, I feel like our exploration has just begun. There's always more to uncover.
Absolutely. It's like Dr. Payton has given us a new set of tools, a new lens through which to view language and the world around us.
And with those tools, we can become more mindful communicators, more critical thinkers, and ultimately more connected to each other.
Beautifully said. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up. Thanks for joining us on this linguistic adventure. And until next time, keep those ears open and those minds curious.